Was I homesick? I'm Joseph. This is Input English. The Input English channel was created to provide comprehensible input for people around the world who are trying to improve their listening comprehension and speaking ability in English. Comprehensible input is arguably the best way to learn English. For those of you who have followed this channel, you know that I have just returned from a long road trip. I drove nearly 3,000 miles exploring several interesting areas in the desert Southwest. I made a series of videos that showcase some of the places I went. Toward the end of the week of planned travel, the weather deteriorated and was no longer conducive to the type of exploration I had in mind, and it was not conducive to making presentable videos to publish on YouTube. Because of that, I cut the travel short by one day and came directly home. This called into question whether I was homesick. So let's start with the expression home. House, home, are they the same? Are they different? Well, a house is a building. It's a dwelling. It's a place that people live, short term or long term. Usually in English, if you say a house, you're talking about an individual building rather than an apartment building. A multifamily dwelling, that is an apartment building, or a condominium could be referred to a house, but most people would understand a house to be a single family dwelling. You could stretch that to include perhaps a duplex, where you have one building and two homes within that building. In English, we frequently interchange the use of house and home, but home has a different meaning, really. Home suggests familiarity, comfort, coziness, an emotional connectedness, a sense of belonging. Those descriptions really go beyond how one would ordinarily describe a building. When I think of home, I think of comfort and coziness. For most of us, home is also associated with a sensation of safety. There are a lot of expressions in English that center around house and home because these are important topics for people. One of the expressions you will hear is home sweet home. So that's a catchy phrase because home and home, that repetition of the word home, makes it more pleasing to the ear. Home sweet home has a nice symmetry. It has alliteration, that is, that ho sound at the beginning of the word home is duplicated. Home sweet home was the title of a song written by John Howard Payne in 1822. This was a fairly popular song, and it probably helped the inclusion of home sweet home into expressions used in English. That same song gave us another phrase that you will hear in English frequently. At the end of a refrain, we hear the expression, "There's no place like home." So that dates back to 1822. But in 1939, we saw the premiere of The Wizard of Oz. In The Wizard of Oz, Dorothy repeatedly says there's no place like home. It's an important aspect of the story, and it's an important theme being presented in The Wizard of Oz. Certainly the popularity of that book, The Wizard of Oz, and the movie have made this phrase prominent in English. There's a similar expression you will hear, home is where the heart is. It's really the same idea said with different words. It dates back to the 19th century for sure in English. However, if you accept translations of that in general terms, the sentiment of home is where the heart is arguably dates back to Roman times. It's an ancient concept. Staying on the same theme of comfort, security, coziness, familiarity, you will hear people say they feel right at home in this place. Because the concepts of house and home are so important in the day-to-day, there are a lot of expressions that you will hear that refer to them. I started with one of those at the beginning of this video. I questioned whether I was homesick. Homesickness is a strong sensation or feeling of a desire to return home. When one travels or stays at another location for a period of time, it is common for people to feel homesickness. Now, what about somebody who habitually stays at home all the time? We would call them a homebody, somebody who doesn't go out much. They just hang around the house and do things around the house. That would be a homebody. I am not a homebody. I enjoy being at home, but I am out and about all the time. And because of the importance of having a house or a home, one big aspect of a house or a home is shelter. We need shelter from the environment. We need shelter from the elements. One of the ways people refer to a house or any dwelling is a roof over one's head. That common phrase celebrates the shelter aspect of a house. Of course, most of us think in terms of a house being fairly durable and substantial, but there is a phrase that goes contrary to that. The phrase is a house of cards. A house of cards is a metaphor for something that is not durable, that is not substantial, and is not protective, something that will fall apart with little provocation. Usually when someone refers to a house of cards, they're talking about some sort of plan or scheme. Occasionally in conversation, you will hear someone say, that was too close to home. That phrase, too close to home, suggests that whatever was discussed or mentioned was too personal, perhaps threatening, or perhaps it caused some discomfort. Too close to home. And the word home can be used as an action. You can home in on something. Home in on something suggests that you're approaching it and focusing on it. You may hear the term homing beacon. That is a signal that allows you to trace or locate something. So going forward, as you see references in English to house and home, you can notice them. We want to learn things in context. We don't want to learn lists of vocabulary. We want the language to build naturally in our mind because we've encountered these terms in context. So back to the original question, was I homesick? I suppose so. When I saw that the weather was not conducive to what I had originally planned, I envisioned the experience of staying in one or two more hotel rooms away from home and compared that sensation to what I know about being home. The comparison was fairly stark. This is why I modified my plans and came directly home. There's another term that I have mentioned in previous videos. It's a made-up term. It's not part of the English language used widely, but I have mentioned it, and that is get-home-itis. In English, anytime you end a word in itis, you are suggesting that what you're saying refers to a disease, some sort of medical condition. So by saying get-home-itis, I describe the affliction of really wanting to be home. It's like homesickness, it's just a different way of saying it. So why did we invent this new term? I think my wife invented the term. When we said get-home-itis, what we meant was that we wanted to get home and get back to our usual routine and exploring new ideas, perhaps planning the next trip. As you become increasingly familiar with this English language, you will encounter made-up words. This is not a new idea. It is said that William Shakespeare made up at least 1,500 words, which are now used in the English language every day. I'm not sure that our little family term, get-home-itis, is going to go anywhere, nor do I have any desire that it have widespread use. I just introduced the idea that we make up words every day, and then some of them stick around, and some of them fade away. In retrospect, I think more than homesickness, I had get-home-itis, because I wanted to get home and sketch out new ideas and develop new plans for the future. I also wanted to get back into practicing my instrument because we have an upcoming concert in a couple of weeks and I want to play well. If I had chosen the flute or piccolo for my major instrument in school, then taking it with me on a trip would be no problem. However, I chose the tuba, and I did not bring an instrument with me to practice while I was on the road. I've done it in the past, but this trip, it seemed completely impractical. Indeed, there's no place like home. I invite comments below, and if you like videos like this, be sure to click on this one next. See you soon.